We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can sort of smell baseball in the air, can't you? Oh, no, that's a blizzard. Never mind. I knew it was some sort of smell like that, but it is closing in on that very special time. Pitchers and catchers, two of the favorite words of baseball fans as we roll into February. Joining us on the line right now is an old friend of ours, a guy who's been on the show on a number of occasions, and he's the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, J.P. Ricciardi. Hey, J.P., how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, great, fantastic.
What hockey rink are you headed for today?
Oh, had a lot of it over the weekend and had practice late last night watching my kids, so none today. We got a day off.
I ran into JP at a hockey rink a month or so ago when we were both watching our kids playing, and he's like every other hockey dad out there this time of year, right?
Yeah, cold.
Exactly. Well, you're going to be warm soon. You got to be headed to Florida very soon. What's the outlook for your Blue Jays heading into spring training?
Well, you know, like we've been telling everybody, we learn to pray for two things, health and luck. So I think if we stay healthy, we get a little lucky, we get a chance to be right in this thing in our division. I think it's going to be a great division again. I think the Red Sox are going to be much improved, and the Yankees are still very good. So it's going to be a tough division. I think the Orioles improved themselves, although they took a little hit yesterday with Benson going down. And I know Tampa Bay always gives everybody a bunch of problems, so it's a tough division.
You know, you talk about the division and two teams in it, the Yankees and Red Sox, both put up some pretty impressive posting numbers to get players. Now, the Red Sox obviously dwarfed everybody else. Were you guys ever players? Did you ever even have a conversation about a posting fee for Daisuke Matsusaka?
Yeah, just a passing one, saying maybe we should put as much money up in bid so no one gets them. But that's probably not the right way to do business. But no, we couldn't get involved with those guys. That's going to be the difference between us and the Red Sox and the Yankees. As we go forward, and just finances. You know, I mean, our payroll has been increased. It's been increased the last few years, but it's not going to be a situation where we're with both of those clubs that could do some of the things that those clubs can do. And that's one thing that they could do and be creative doing it. And you know, I tip my hat to them. If I was in this situation, I'd do the same thing.
Just to give people an idea of the disparity, you said, you know, some of the resources that you don't have, you can't do things that the Yankees and Red Sox do. The Red Sox put up $51 million for Daisuke. What would have been the maximum the Toronto Blue Jays could have put up for him?
I don't know, $10 million. You know, $51 million was our payroll my first 4 years here. So that, you know, that's in last year our payroll was $70 million. We had the 17th highest payroll in baseball. So, you know, we're still below the Mendoza line as far as the payroll scheme goes. So, you know, we have to be creative in other ways, and that's one way that we can't.
You added some interesting players to your roster in this offseason. One is at DH when you went out and got Frank Thomas. What were you looking at in terms of health, and what concerns did you have when you signed him?
Well, we did all our homework. We've got all the medical stuff. We've got his injury from the, you know, when he had the surgery. We talked to the surgeon that performed the operation. You know, we've done all our background check on Frank. He played more games than he's played in the last few years last year. So we think we've got as clean a bill of health as we could possibly have on him. We think he stabilizes our lineup a little bit more. We had a very good lineup last year, but we think, you know, we'd like to put ourselves on a par with the Yankees and the Red Sox in that area. And, you know, we think our 3, 4, 5, and 6 now match up with anybody.
JP, you know, you're talking about Frank Thomas. Did you interview Kenny Williams? Did you ask him his thoughts on Big Frank?
No, we stayed away from that one.
I mean, yeah, but how seriously do you take those rants? I know Kenny Williams, you know, he had a history with them, and he got fed up. When guys go off like that, do you just take it as someone who's been around the player too long, or do you investigate yourself and find out what the source of it was?
Well, we tried to do as much homework as we possibly could do, and you know, I think sometimes it comes down to personalities, and you know, maybe those guys' familiarity with each other just maybe led to something where said things maybe they regret to this day. I don't know because I wasn't with the situation, but, you know, we brought Frank up to Toronto, got to spend some time with him and his wife, and seems to be, you know, really on board with what he wants to do, what he wants to accomplish in his career. And, you know, a lot of times guys that spend their whole career in one place, sometimes they don't leave under the greatest circumstances. And, you know, I think guys mature as they get a little older, and talked to the guys in Oakland. They had no problem with him last year, said he was a great guy in the clubhouse. And, you know, those are just incidents that happen, you know.
JP, I know you don't have as much money to spend as the Yankees and Red Sox, but you were able to lock up a very good player in Vernon Wells. Did creativity come into that contract? It's a big contract, but is there something hidden in the contract that we don't see, deferred payments, anything of that sort?
No, there's no deferred payments. We're a publicly traded company, so it'd be hard for us to do that. But I think the one thing that we're proud of, a couple of things. You know, arguably, Roy Halladay and Vernon Wells are probably two of the top 25 players in the game. And we were able to keep both of those guys from going out and testing the free agent market. We were able to keep them in Toronto. So I think it says a lot about, A, what they feel about what's going on in Toronto, and B, you know, the closeness of the team we have and the group that likes to be together. So we're excited about that. I think as far as the creativity with the contract itself really doesn't start kicking in until, I think it's 2010. And in 2010, our payrolls are pretty much finished as we go forward, 2011, 2012, and 2013. I know it sounds like a long way off, but it's just the way we had to do our thought process. Vernon will be the only guy on our books at that point, and he'll be the highest paid player on our team. Our contracts will all finish up by the time we get to 2010, the Hallidays, the Burnetts, the Ryans, the Glosses, the Frank Thomases. So we tried to do is backload the contract so that when we start anew, hopefully in 2011, Vernon will be the one contract we work from without.
It sort of seems like the Red Sox have had this never-ending succession of shortstops. You added a shortstop in this offseason as well in Royce Clayton. Did you ever consider Julio Lugo? Did you look at him as a possibility for your team?
Yeah, we've always liked Lugo, but just we weren't going to be able to put the money into him that I knew a team like Boston would probably be able to step up and pay him. We had a certain amount of money we could spend this year, and we spent a lot of it on Frank. And we really like Aaron Hill a lot. We think he's going to be a shortstop eventually for us, and we wanted to really buy another year for Russ Adams to let him play second base in AAA. So we didn't think long range it would be worthwhile for us to get involved with someone for 4 or 5 years at a position we think we're going to be able to have internally taken care of.
Hey, JP, we always have a horn on the show. Give him the horn, Jimmy. We have a horn on the show for someone who gives props to themselves or something like that. Sounds like that. So I'm going to encourage you to, you know, feel free to give props to yourself if you knew that the free agent market would be so, you know, that teams would be so generous when it came to signing guys this year. So that's why you went out last year and gave money to B.J. Ryan and A.J. Burnett, and those contracts don't look so bad right now.
Well, I'd like to sit here and tell you that's the reason we did it, but I don't think we were that smart to say that the market was going to change so much. I think what we tried to do was just target guys that we thought were still in the prime of their career, and I think anytime you get into the free agent years with players, you try to pay them for what you think they're going to do, not for what they've done, because sometimes when you pay them for what they've done, you end up getting the back end of the player. I think in both these cases, you know, Ryan went out and, you know, for 1 year justified the contract as far as, you know, 38 saves and being an all-star and closing out the all-star game and just having an unbelievable year. And Burnett, when he was healthy, which was 21 starts, had an ERA under 4, 10-8 record. And, you know, we just see the electricity that this guy brings to the mound when he's healthy. So, you know, I don't know if we should be, you know, tipping our own hat, but we just like the guys that we went after. And this year I think we showed some reservation in some of the guys that we started in on, but we realized where the market was going and the price for the player. And we just said, at this point, we're not going to spend that kind of money. We just don't think the player warrants that.
It seemed like you and Theo had a similar plan in mind in terms of depth on the pitching staff. You went out and got Josh Towers and Sean Markham and Casey Jansen and Dustin McGowan. The Red Sox have some depth, particularly in the middle relief area. Is it, you know, strength in numbers type of thing? You just hope that when things shake out, you get X number of viable options out of that group?
Yeah, that's a good question. From our end, what we tried to do is, we lost Ted Lilly, and last year we only had two players take the ball every fifth day for us, Halladay and Lilly. And really, you know, to come in second place and win 87 games, patching our rotation together the whole year was a credit to to Johnny Gibbons and our staff and some of the, you know, some of the kids that we had. But we really put the kids in spots that we shouldn't have put them in. So what we tried to do this year was find a way to replace those 180 innings. We signed John Thompson. We signed Tomooka. We signed Victor Zambrano. And we think if all three of those guys combined can give us 180 innings, we'll replace the innings that Lilly gave us. We'll replace them with guys that have had experience there. Our offense is going to score runs. We're going to catch the ball. So we're just trying to see if three guys can give us what one guy gave us and maybe get a little bit more than we got last year and allow the kids to stay in AAA. And, you know, you never have enough pitching and you never have enough depth with it.
JP, it seems like the Red Sox were in negotiations with J.D. Drew for about 6 months. They finally signed him to a deal. He's a controversial player in terms of, you know, the reaction he gets out of people. Some people love him. Some people say stay away. What do you think of J.D. Drew?
Well, he's a really good player. I mean, I remember going to see him at Florida State as a scout, and I remember going up to the league he played in up in Minnesota when he was playing independent baseball. And talent-wise, this guy's a very good player. I mean, he's everything you want to see. I think the big test with a lot of players when they come to Boston and New York is just how they get acclimated to playing in that environment. You know, you had a guy like Nixon that, you know, was really comfortable playing in that pressure-packed place, and, you know, really his game was kind of built to that. He's an intense guy. I think JD is a little bit more relaxed in the way he plays, and I think the big question with any player is, you know, how do they react to the intensity of playing in Boston and New York? And you don't know that until you put those guys in that situation.
With guys like Wells, who we talked about, and Frank Thomas, Troy Gloss, Jason Overbay, you've got some boppers in there. One of the things John Gibbons is going to have to figure out is where you place them in the batting order. Is that big a deal, generally speaking, where they hit and who they hit behind, things like that?
I think certain players, it's a comfort level. I think certain players are pretty flexible. I know Frank Thomas has already told Gibby that, you know, anywhere he wants to bat him, he's got no problem with. I think, though, the bulk of our lineup will be Wells, Thomas, Gloss, Overbay, Rios. Those five guys will probably be somewhere, you know, between three, four, five, and six in the lineup. So, you know, we've got conceivably five guys that are, you know, 20-plus home run guys, and I think that's exciting for us. Plus, we've got some guys around them that are still good hitters. Aaron Hill is only his second year in the big leagues, a 300 hitter, so Reed Johnson was the best leadoff guy in baseball last year. So our lineup's going to be good. It's just, you know, I think spring training is a time to iron some of those things out.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about, you know, 2010, 2011, you know, clearing the books and having Vernon Wells as the only guy on there. Why do you have to do it that way? I know the question, it may sound obvious to you. It's not obvious to me or to our listeners. Why are you thinking that far ahead?
Well, if we're going to keep a player like Vernon, obviously, you know, a 7-year contract takes a big commitment from ownership. And when we look at our team, it's probably inconceivable to think that all of these guys are going to continue to be here. And if we're going to pay someone, that's the one player we know we're going to have the money invested in. That's the one player we know we can work around. You know, we've got players coming through our system that hopefully will be up here at that point. And, you know, that's like I said, that's the one contract you work around. And I don't know where our payroll is going to be in 2011, 2012, and 2013. I'm hoping it stays between that 70 and 90 range, which is where we're at now, and then we can work that team around him. So it's really just the reality of what our payroll is now and where we see it in the future.
Part of what you do is you prepare your club as you assess the competition. How do you read the American League East going into spring training this year?
I would say, you know, on paper, the Red Sox are probably the favorite just because their pitching staff is probably a little deeper than everybody else's. And anytime, you know, you got those two guys hitting 3 and 4, you got a pretty good, you know, historical 1-2 punch. I think the Yankees are still very, very good. And, you know, obviously we're right there. So I think it's those three teams. And really, it's going to come down to who stays healthy enough to be able to stand the bashings that each one of us put on each other.
See, I was going to ask you, as a fan, aren't you concerned? Because you're from here. But wait a minute, you're not concerned about the Red Sox and some of their problems. I was going to say, wouldn't a Red Sox fan be fair to say the bullpen, and specifically the closer, is a concern for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think that's a concern. But I think, you know, there's a long way between now and the start of the season. And, you know, they're pretty creative guys over there. I'm sure they'll have their eyes and ears out and trying to target some guys that could be potential trades, you know, guys that they could swing around and get at some point. But that's their problem, and I hope they have it all year, to be honest with you.
See, I knew you didn't care.
No, I care about the Celtics and the Patriots and the Bruins, but I don't worry too much about the
Red Sox. Celtics. What do you think about this losing streak?
They'll be okay. You know, they got some good young players. They just, when it snowballs, it snowballs on you. I feel bad for Danny Ainge because, he's getting killed in a lot of spots, and I think when you're a GM, you kind of relate to what other guys go through. But, you know, I don't think they're as bad as they're playing, and I like some of the young players. I just think it's a tough league. It's an unforgiving league, and, you know, you're at the disposal of the draft, and hopefully they'll get the number one pick.
See, JP, you've been a GM too long. You said you feel bad for Danny. They've lost 18 games in a row. Of course,
yeah,
he's supposed to be getting killed.
Well, you know why? Because the public doesn't see what those guys go through. That guy's going home every night. You know, he's not sleeping. And along with Doc, I had Doc Rivers on the interview. The poor guy, I feel bad for him, because I know what it's like to go through losing. And you can just hear it in his voice. The guy's it's killing the guy. Now, I'm sure it's killing the players. It's killing the fans. But, you know, everybody lives and dies with it, and that's the part that the public doesn't see.
March 1st, Grapefruit League opener, Red Sox against the Toronto Blue Jays. I wonder if you'll get to see Dice K that day.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll see him at some point, but we saw a lot of video of him. He's a good-looking kid, and it's going to be interesting to see how he plays in the American League, but he's got great stuff.
Setting aside the competitive aspect of it, and obviously you're in the same division, are you kind of anxious and curious to see how he performs as well?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think there's always the translation period of coming over the American League and seeing what these lineups are like. I don't think he's ever seen lineups like he's going to see in the American League. But, you know, this guy's got good stuff. And if you look traditionally, the Japanese players come over here and played well. I think their game translates really well to coming over here and having success. So I anticipate this guy being very good. And I think, you know, like, we're going to try to figure him out. He's going to have to figure us out, too. And that's going to be the fun part, to see how that plays out.
JP, enjoy the warm weather. You'll get to get – now, when you head down?
Thursday, I take off.
Yeah, you'll be a little warmer Thursday than you will be today, I think.
All right. Well, good talking to you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
hey, JP. Anytime, JP.
We'll talk to you
Thank
soon.
You. All right.
JP Ricciardi is the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.